ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. दि मास्टर् अण्ड् केशव. October 27, 1882. This month is full of festivals in India, especially in Bengal. Just now, Durga Puja is over. Before Durga Puja, 15 days is considered very auspicious for offering their respects to the dead ancestors, Pitru Purushas. That's why it is called Pitru Paksha, the time, auspicious time for offering Shraddha, etc. to the ancestors. Then Durga Puja came. It is called Navaratri. Every night the Divine Mother is worshipped with a particular name, form, meditation and result also. And then yesterday we had this Kojagari Lakshmi Puja. It is full moon night and there were it is very famous puja, especially in Bengal. And people believe that Divine Mother, like any other presiding deities, they're all real. It depends upon the mind of the person. If a person thinks something is and it is, if a person thinks it is not. That's why Swami Vivekananda had declared a person, every person, as a perception, an idea, I am so and so. And his concept of everything else, about you, about me, about the world, about the trees, about the birds, everything, including the so-called non-living, will also be exactly that. Most of us are body-oriented. I am the body. So therefore, a rock is a body, a tree is a body, a bird is a body, an animal is a body, every human being is a body, including gods, goddesses, everything has got a body. That's what Swami Vivekananda wanted to illustrate. If someone were to ask a cow, what's your idea of God? Says, it's a huge, most powerful cow in the whole world. And a cow cannot see God in any other form, excepting a cow's form, because its identity is only with the cow's form, cow's shape. And if an ant were to be asked, and it will say, the most powerful ant in the world is called God. If you ask a human being, same thing. That's why, is Jesus, is he a Jew? Is he an African? Is he an Indian? Or is he an American? Because the painters, when there is no photograph or anything, and not even an accurate description of Jesus Christ. But people actually presume, because he was born in a Jewish race, he will have an aquiline nose and a tall person and like any average Jew. Jesus Christ will be like that, but with infinite softness, love, compassion, power and beautiful speech. This is human conception. So when we conceive of the Divine Mother, also we conceive, that is how 9 nights, every night in a different form, the Divine Mother is worshipped. Now Lakshmi Puja is there. That was over yesterday. Why am I talking about in the gospel class about these pujas? Because in our last class, we have seen how Sri Ramakrishna had mentioned several aspects of the Divine Mother, like Bhadrakali, Smashana Kali, etc. Are they real? Yes, absolutely real. What is the difference? Reality imagined in the form of a human being, female. Why female? Because Srishti, or creation, is always associated and never associated with a male, only with a female. That's why she is the Divine Mother. And even when we call, Vedanta calls Ishvara, is called Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma means only Shakti. We cannot conceive of Nirguna Brahma. Even the word Nirguna Brahma is a misnomer. That's where what Sri Ramakrishna said, that nobody could utter, even think of that supreme reality, which is conventionally called Nirguna Brahma. Even you use Saguna Brahma, Nirguna Brahma, both are Saguna Brahma only. Why? Because it is conceived in the mind, it is uttered by the mouth, so whatever is conceived, limited, conceived means limited by the mind, can never be the highest reality. So, what does it show us? Every person has a freedom to think of God in any name, in any form, with any quality. And the way one conceives of God with any particular quality also makes the same person become stronger in that quality. So that is what Shankaracharya, when we were discussing the Taittiriya Upanishad, yad gunakam upasate tadvadeva bhavati. In whichever way we intensely contemplate any aspect of God, we are likely to become that. Slowly we are going to become that. That is why upa means nearing. As we near, and my favorite example is, if somebody is nearing the fire, he gets less and less cold, more and more heat, and then if he approaches very near, he himself becomes one with fire, and he acquires the quality of burning, anything that falls into him. So if a corpse is burning, and if you throw anything on that corpse, on a burning corpse, the corpse also becomes equally ashes, because it is not a corpse any longer, it is fire only. This is the beautiful concept about contemplation or upasana. And these are the preparations. Now, on this kojagari, kojagari means whoever is alert, awake, and sees everything with an intelligent mind, no doubt he will become prosperous, he will become happier. Lakshmi doesn't mean only wealth. Usually, Lakshmi is associated with wealth, but that is a very wrong concept. Every form of the Divine Mother is none other than Divine Mother. Durga is not confined only to the aspect of protecting people. Durga Devi as Srishti Sthiti Vinasha, as we chant every day, especially the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna at Vesper service, Srishti Sthiti Vinasha Nam Shakti Bhute Sanatani Gunashriye Gunamayi, that Gunashriya and Gunamayi is called Ishvara. But to conceive of the Divine as Mother is very ennobling and very helpful. How is it helpful? Because a baby, maybe there is a prince and his father, a very ferocious person, personality. But the prince, a baby prince, is never afraid of neither the father and much less the mother. Simply, he will run, jump into the lap of the mother, and so long as we are not grown up, we are much closer to our mother than anybody else. And mother also reciprocates that aspect. So to obtain the grace of God much more easily, we obtain pardon for whatever wrong things that we had done will be much sooner, much quicker, much greater through the mother than through the father. That is why in Christianity or even in Islam, a stern judge, that is the concept of God, he will punish and he will reward like an impartial judge. No, she is an infinitely compassionate mother. And even if we commit, Hindu philosophy is wonderful. If we are committing something wrong, whose fault is it? Even though knowing, most of the time, we commit what we should not do. Why do we do that? We know inside ourselves that we should not do it, and yet we do it. And why do we do it? Because there is a power which is moving us like a puppet. Ishvarah sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. So we are not to be blamed, really speaking, but God wants to play with us. So he gave us a very special sense that we are free. He implanted an idea, we are free. And that is the mischief maker. But the root cause of this mischief is the Divine Mother herself. That is her play. Anyway, there are higher worlds, there are higher beings. All these are absolutely true. Sri Ramakrishna's life proved it. Sri Ramakrishna wanted to test, is this idol that I am worshipping, is it really alive? Is there Divine Mother? So he was not a fool. He was more rational than even Swami Vivekananda, Narendranath, or anybody put together. So he went near the Vigraha image and then put his finger across her nose. Whether she is breathing. If she is alive, she must breathe. That was his concept at the earlier stage of his spiritual development. And he found Mother was breathing. Then he made a strange remark. Sri Ramakrishna made a strange remark. When we are in the presence of a lamp, inevitably there will be a shadow at the backside. If we are walking in the sun, there will be a shadow behind us. So Sri Ramakrishna said, I observed many times, but I could not find any shadow. Now I can't understand it even today. If she is breathing, then she should have a definite form and she should have a physical body and that body should cast in the lamp some shadows. But these are divine mysteries. But what is important is that the Divine Mother responds to our earnest prayers and she answers our doubts, removes our doubts, then enlightens us. She feeds us. Everything that needs to be done, she will do. There is no doubt about it. Now, coming back to this special Lakshmi Puja, Chandramani Devi, almost at midnight, she had a vision of the Mahalakshmi. That is the point. She could not imagine. She was not expecting. She was only looking for her son, who was late in returning. So she became very anxious. Every now and then she used to move forward towards the direction from which he is supposed to return. And then suddenly she saw this most gorgeous, beautiful young lady with unsurpassing beauty and with all the ornaments. It did not occur to her. Who dares to walk in those days, even these days, with such a beautiful, ravishingly beautiful lady at almost midnight and with so many costly ornaments adorning her? It is only later on she realized, did I have the darshan of Mahalakshmi? So she ran to her husband and he said, yes, tonight is a special puja. Mother Lakshmi will be moving around. Where does she want to go? Ko Jagari. Whoever is intelligently looking, what does it mean? Not open your eyes like an owl and go on looking forward. By the way, the vehicle of the Divine Mother, Mahalakshmi, is called owl. Owl, you know, huge eyeballs are there and it will be staring. They say whole night it doesn't sleep. So what is the symbolism? There are many symbolisms, many meanings. First meaning is the divine is present in everything in this world. So as a representation, some birds, some animals, some special rocks, stones, like Saligrama, for example, or Shivalinga, Linga, these are chosen so that we can look upon them. We can develop a spiritual vision. This is nothing but Lord Shiva, but he can assume this form. But later on, cover everything, living, non-living. Everything is, whatever is existing is God. And whatever is coming to us in the form of knowledge is also God. That is the idea. Not only human beings. So that is how we see so many forms. Why so many forms of the Mother Kali? because Mother Kali's puja is going to come in another, in less than 2 weeks' time. And that is a grand affair, especially in the North India, especially in Bengal, Kali Puja. Sriram Krishna used to go into ecstasy on every Saturday, Tuesday, and especially on days associated with Mother Kali. So coming back, there are so many aspects of Mother Kali. So the question that can arise in our minds if we are capable of thinking is, why so many aspects of the Mother Kali? And for that the answer is, as many ways of looking at her by infinite number of minds, that is the reality. That is to say, supposing we are looking at the sky, if somebody had put on green-colored, green-tinted specs, the sky will appear green. If it is blue, it will be blue. Sri Ramakrishna had illustrated it through a very beautiful parable. There was a village and there was some wooded area. One day a man was passing and he saw very strange-looking animal and it was completely blue. So he came and excitedly announced, "Today I have seen a strange animal. It is completely blue." Immediately somebody answered him, "No, you have seen, I also have seen, but why do you say it is blue? It is red, completely red." Someone else came and said, "It is yellow." Like that, arguments were going on. They couldn't decide. So they knew there is a man who will be always sitting under that tree, living under that tree. So they went to him. What is that tree? Tree of knowledge. What is that bird? That is God. Who is sitting under that tree? It is only a realized soul. So they went to him and asked him, "So I saw it as blue." One somebody said, "I saw it as green, as yellow." The man said, "All of you are right, because this animal is capable of assuming any color, any form. And sometimes it doesn't have any color at all. And that is the greatest teaching of Vedanta or Upanishads." By the way, Vedanta is another name for Upanishads. So who is the person who can tell? Only after the realization of God one can tell. God is everything. He is with form, without form, beyond both form and formlessness. He is with name, without name, beyond any name. So he can be anything. Whatever our mind can conceive, it is all included in our concept of God. And yet, he transcends everything. And that is what beautifully is described in the Narayana Suktam as well as Purusha Suktam. Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha Sahasrakshaha Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Ritva Atyatishta Dashangula. Same concept about Mother Kali. If somebody thinks she is ferocious, she is called Smashana Kali. If she is very, very pleasing, Suprasanna, then she can be called Bhadra Kali. If she is not having any head, Chinnamasta, so Dhumavati, only continuous smoke is arising from her neck. So different concepts. And God also says, especially in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the very essence of the Upanishads, says, "Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tan tatha eva bhajamyaham." Whichever way people are approaching me, but with love, with faith, with sincerity, I also respond. Rama Bhakta will get vision of Rama. The Krishna Bhakta will get the vision of Krishna. But let no one be a fanatic and say, God can be only this, God cannot be that. Because whatever we conceive only in the form of idea. Idea is a thought. Thought is a function of the mind or a form of the mind. And mind is absolutely limited. Ito vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. So this Mother Kali, she is going to be worshipped. I think on 20th of this month, today is 7th, another 13 days. So, this Sri Ramakrishna attained to the highest peak of realizations of error of God only by the grace of the Divine Mother. Sri Ramakrishna is not a Kali Bhakta. It would be wrong to say he is a Kali Bhakta. Why would it be wrong? Because the moment we say he is a Kali Bhakta, the idea comes that he is not a Krishna Bhakta, Rama Bhakta, Christ Bhakta, etc. No. Kali, Sri Ramakrishna himself clarified, I chose to call her Kali, rather it is already being named as Dakshineshwara Kali by the people who constructed that temple. But at the beginning only, Sri Ramakrishna used to consider her as Mother Kali. Very soon, he broke the bonds of all limitations. Then, pure consciousness. He realized Divine Mother is pure consciousness. Because any concept of body is a severe limitation, and that is not a true spirituality. As a beginning, as an aid, it's fine. But very soon, we cross that boundary and we enter into that concept of infinity, at least in the realm of the ideas. So, we all believe, if we can also pray like Sri Ramakrishna, Divine Mother will grace us. Sarva Mangala Mangalye. She is the embodiment of all auspiciousness. That means everything, not only what we consider to be a happy, positive, beneficial event. Anything that happens. Is there a war? Millions died? Very auspicious. Is there an earthquake? Thousands died? Very auspicious. How can we call it auspicious? When so much of suffering is there in the world? Because we are short-sighted. Highly myopic. We only see what is happening in front of our eyes. We never see what has happened before. We don't know what happened in our past births. We don't know what is going to happen in future births. We don't know anything about it. Our judgment is purely limited. That's why my illustration to make this point very clear is this. One day, a man was returning from office and near his house, suddenly he encountered a group of people beating one man, black and blue. So he thought it was very unjustified. It is pure injustice. So he started shouting, oh, you stop. Why are you beating this poor man? So many people gathered together. And then somebody explained, don't shout. This man entered into your house. He wanted to kill one of your sons. Now this person knows why these people have gathered and are trying to punish him. But before that, his idea was purely from what he saw in front of his eyes. Like that, we are blind in our past lives. What all we did, we do not know. And what is going to happen, even the next millisecond, we have absolutely no idea. Neither memory of the past, nor an inkling of the future. So, we have to be very careful when we are talking about God, why things are happening. Everything happens for good. And that is what we need to understand, accept, be grateful, and move forward. This is just by way of introduction, why we have been talking about different aspects of the Mother Kali in our last class, and also what is going to happen. In fact, Kali means Kala. Just to remind ourselves. So, deification of time is called Kali. If we can use our time the way we are supposed to use, then we will feel blessed. And how do we know that how we have to use our time? And the scriptures are there for that only. If you do this, this would be the result. If you do the other thing, this would be the result. If you don't do this thing, then this would be the result. That is why the scripture is nothing but vidhi and nishaida. Do this and do not do this. So, October 27, 1882, it was Friday, the day of the Lakshmi Puja. Keshav Chandra Sen had arranged a boat trip on the Ganges for Sri Ramakrishna. and a small boat came and then took Sri Ramakrishna. Before that, Sri Ramakrishna was talking with another former Brahma devotee called Vijay Krishna Goswami. Sri Ramakrishna awakened in Vijay Krishna Goswami the truth that he has joined an organization which would hinder his spiritual growth rather than help him. And then Vijay Krishna Goswami was quite intelligent. God's grace in the form of Sri Ramakrishna's awakening came upon him. He understood, he accepted, he renounced the Brahma Samaj, and after that this event had happened, and Sri Ramakrishna was talking, and then some devotees came with a small boat because they hired quite a large ship. The idea is to have the holy company of Sri Ramakrishna with lot of Brahma devotees, because Keshav Chandra Sen sincerely believed Sri Ramakrishna was one of the greatest spiritual personalities. That much he understood by the grace of the Divine Mother. So he started preaching during his sermons, and he was an extraordinarily great orator, very popular everywhere, especially in Bengal. So he understood by the grace of the Divine Mother that he was really a great spiritual personality, and wholeheartedly accepted Sri Ramakrishna as a great spiritual personality, though he did not accept every teaching of Sri Ramakrishna, because a lot of kinks were still there in Keshav Chandra Sen, and he had some desires also. I want to become very famous person. Everybody must respect me, if not more, at least equivalent to Jesus Christ in this 19th century. I would like to be revered as a great spiritual personality. Sri Ramakrishna later on pointed out all these things, but he was a very sincere person, and he used to be absorbed in contemplation. Otherwise, Sri Ramakrishna would not accept me as a talker. And he had some special power by the grace of the Divine Mother. And I also mentioned how Sri Ramakrishna knew through the grace of the Divine Mother, Keshav Chandra Sen is also part of this incarnation's mission on life. Because it was Keshav Chandra Sen, or rather his organization called Brahmo Samaj, where he could attract all the modern English educated youth, and some of them had become attracted by Sri Ramakrishna, and they become the future sannyasis, monks, and also devotees of the Ramakrishna order. So, Keshav Chandra Sen had played quite a good role in the drama of Sri Ramakrishna's life. Now, it was arranged, Sri Ramakrishna knew it. A small boat was to carry the master to the steamer. No sooner did he get into the boat than he lost all outer consciousness in samadhi. And because Vijay Krishna Goswami was there, the Brahma devotees, most of them knew him very well. So they could not ignore him. And it was Sri Ramakrishna's intention that there should not be any quarrel between Keshav Chandra Sen and Vijay Krishna Goswami. And incidentally, Sri Ramakrishna must have been intuitively grasping the point that Keshav Chandra Sen must have become hurt. My follower, my disciple, and he has seceded from me, separated away from me, must be quite a painful event, though he did not express it outward. So, the Brahma devotees did not know that day Vijay Krishna Goswami would be there. So, they had no choice along Sri Ramakrishna, and he must have insisted also, and M entered into the boat, and Sri Ramakrishna lost all outward consciousness. With great difficulty, he was taken to the ship, and slowly he was assisted in entering into that big boat. And then Sri Ramakrishna again and again was talking about the highest truths, and some of them we discussed in our last class. M also was there. Sri Ramakrishna wanted M because he is going to be the future chronicler of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. The Divine Mother informed Sri Ramakrishna that it would be so. Now, gaining partial outward consciousness, Sri Ramakrishna started talking. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere. And he sees everything in Krishna. So, developed devotee will see Krishna everywhere. And everything in Krishna. That means there is no difference. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance, he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is the manifestation of Krishna. Even in the simplest teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, words of Sri Ramakrishna, the highest Upanishadic truths come out. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Only instead of using the word Brahma, here Sri Ramakrishna is using the word Krishna. It could be Rama, it could be Kali, it doesn't matter. It means the same thing. And nothing can exist without Krishna. And Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. That means Sri Ramakrishna is telling, making it clear, anybody who worships God, he must see only pure consciousness, but at the beginning, what is called the primary steps is Krishna, Rama, Kali, etc., Shiva, etc. But Krishna consciousness means it is not Krishna's consciousness. Krishna is the consciousness. So the qualification for seeing Krishna everywhere is stated in the Brahma Samhita. There is a beautiful scripture called Brahma Samhita, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his wanderings, came to know about it, probably in South India, I am not sure, and he liked it so much, he specially requested someone to make a copy of it. Though the name is Brahma Samhita, it is full of devotion, and especially for Krishna. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna is quoting here. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadaiva hrudayeshu vilokayanti yam shyamasundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Interestingly, there is a beautiful bhajan especially created by this Hare Krishna movement. Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. It starts like that. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love, is seen in his eternal form of Shyamasundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. Very interesting formation of words. So it is says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Bhakti means devotion, Vilochana means the eyes. And what are the eyes covered with? Premanjana, the collyrium of infinite devotion. We also have it in our Khandana Bhava Bandhana, the fourth line, Jnananjana Vimalanayana Vikshane Moha Jai. So, if anybody has put on the collyrium of Shyamasundara, and what type of Shyamasundara? Achintya Gunaswarupa. Unimaginable qualities, every quality a human being can even think of as the remotest possibility. I worship that Govinda, and he is Adi Purusha, is the origin of everything in this world. I surrender myself to him. And Sri Ramakrishna is putting a question. Do you know how a lover of God feels? Because Ramakrishna was a lover of God, he knows. So he is putting. But he doesn't expect any answer because very few are devotees of God, even in front of him, not to speak of now, and they can never answer. Do you know how a lover of God feels? His attitude is, O God, thou art the master and I am thy servant. Thou art the mother and I am thy child. Or again, thou art my father and mother. Thou art the whole and I am a part. He doesn't like to say, I am Brahma. A devotee, this is the difference between a devotee and one who is treading the path of knowledge. A devotee of God however much his knowledge. He would not like to feel I am God, because he wants to enjoy. Interestingly, how long does he want to enjoy? So long as God keeps in him, in this world. If there is a body, there would be a mind. And if there is a body mind, there is the sense of duality. And a devotee, if he wishes, a realized devotee, he can transcend it at any time. But by the will of the Lord, he doesn't want to become one with God. He wants to keep the separations as long as possible, and then he will assume five attitudes: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Mathura. But sometimes he also wants to become one, and again he wants to go deep, and he wants to come out again, dive deep. He wants to have infinite sport with God. So that is what he is saying. Tvameva mata cha pita, tvameva, tvameva sarvam, mama deva deva. So deha buddhyat udasoham, jiva buddhyat udamshakaha, atma buddhyat vamevaha. At the beginning, for ordinary devotees like us, we have no choice but to ascend nearer and nearer to God. That is called upasana. And we start with shanta bhava. Develop absolute serenity, unaffectedness by any circumstances. And then have, that is called shanta bhava. Then I am the servant, you are my master. Then I am your friend, you are my friend. Then I am a child, you are my parent. And I am the parent, you are the child. I am your beloved then. Thus, he like a five-stepped story building. He wants to go up and down, because everything is full of divine bliss for him. And he wants to enjoy bliss in different ways. He is never tired. Sometimes he assumes, even though he can remain completely one with the Brahman. The yogi seeks to realize the Paramatman, the Supreme Soul. His ideal is the union of the embodied soul and the Supreme Soul. But whereas those who tread the paths of yoga or jnana, then they don't want any duality, because they are like people. Somehow or other, we have to reach the goal. They are frightened. They are cowards. They cannot realize. They cannot enjoy the divine leela. Somehow, by hook, by crook, they want to become one with God. What do I mean by hook and crook? You see, there are people who know that we are in no way we can attain liberation. So the only way we can attain liberation is to go to Kashi and die there. And Shiva will give us inevitably mukti. There is no doubt about it. So by hook or crook, by japa, by dhyana, by meditation, by living in a holy place, but guaranteed mukti is available in Varanasi, Kashi. Sri Ramakrishna continues. He is Brahman to the followers of the path of knowledge, Paramatman to the yogis, and Bhagavan to the lovers of God. Sri Ramakrishna was talking in this manner. A steamer had been going toward Calcutta, but the passengers with their eyes fixed on the master and their ears given to his nectar-like words were oblivious of its motion. Master, the jnanis who adhere to the non-dualistic philosophy of Vedanta say that the acts of creation, preservation and destruction, srishti, sthiti and laya, the universe itself, the creation itself, and all its living beings, are the manifestations of Shakti, the Divine Mother. If you reason it out, you will realize that all these are as illusory as a dream. Brahman alone is the reality, and all else is unreal. Even this very Shakti is unsubstantial, like a dream. Why was Ramakrishna talking this way? Ordinarily, he would not talk with his intimate devotees and disciples in this way, but he is talking, keeping in mind, he is talking with Brahma devotees. Their concept of God is very, very poor. So he says, that the whole world is illusion. Sri Ramakrishna's unique philosophy is that nothing is an illusion. From the beginning to the end, it is nothing but pure Brahman. Brahman with name and form is called creation. Creation without name and form is called Brahman. So whatever any created being is enjoying, and all this enjoyment falls into three categories only. The waking, the dream, and then the deep sleep. So, many times I also told you, does a mosquito dream? Yes, a young male mosquito will be dreaming Miss Universe, dreaming of ravishing female mosquito, because that is embedded in the very creation. If you see animals, male and female, running towards each other, why not you presume that the same thing also is true of mosquito also? In fact, that is what scientists had discovered, but the queen has had her own ideas. She wants the best husband, mate. So she instinctively developed certain tests. The male who can compete with her in rising to the highest, that mosquito, male mosquito, which can rise to the highest, alone is fit. Instinctively, nature wants the very best, so that strong offspring will be there, so that they have a better chance of survival and propagation, spreading. Sri Ramakrishna is telling that everything is nothing but Shakti. Brahman alone is the only reality. Everything is unreal. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean by the word unreal? Does he mean unreal? No. I explained in my last class, we should never cherish a wrong idea about what is called mithya. Mithya is not unreal. Mithya is not non-existent. Mithya is limitedness. And what do you mean by limitedness? Is there something really limited outside? Or we are perceiving everything as limited because of the limitation of our mind? That is the correct answer. A Brahmagnani, knower of Brahman, sees Brahman only everywhere. You have to understand, or I will put it in a plain language, a knower of Brahman sees God, a God-realized soul sees God everywhere. What do you mean by that? Everywhere, there is a table, that is also a manifestation of God. There is a tree, that is also a manifestation of God. No, that's not what is meant. Because God cannot be a table. Then what is meant? What is meant is, what we call table, tree, mosquito, is limited perception by the limited mind. When our mind really becomes unlimited by becoming purer, same object totally changes. That is why in Bhagavad Gita there are marvelous slokas are there. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shunichaiva shvapakecha panditaha samadarshinaha. We have to understand this point very clearly. I see Ramu going, oh, he is also manifestation of Brahman. I see a tree, a dog, they are also manifestation of Brahman. Now, is that manifestation of Brahman outside, or is it my understanding of that person and that animal and that tree as limited? Inevitably, we understand as we progress in spiritual life, as our mind expands, our idea of a person, of a tree, of a mosquito, of a dog, everything also expands. Then Brahman, oh, in this dog is Brahman with a name and form. This person is a Brahman with a name and form, but they are not limited. That is the idea. So we have to understand it. The infinite can never become finite. Neither finite can become the infinite. They will ever remain completely opposed to each other. But like a person mistaking a rope for a snake, we can mistake the infinite for the finite. and that is because of the finiteness of the instrument through which we are experiencing. That is why as soon as light is brought out, then the snake disappears. What does the person say? Rope. What does this illustration really want to tell us? When we have jnananjana, jnana drishti, sarvam jnanamayam, sarvam brahmamayam, rere sarvam brahmamayam. This is a beautiful kirtan by Sadashiva Brahmendra. Everything is nothing but pure Brahman. Pure Brahman is not limited Brahman. So, what Sri Ramakrishna wants to tell, when or so long as we are perceiving, experiencing everything through the instrumentality of the mind and thinking that what I am seeing is the reality, of course that would be the reality for that particular person, for each one of us, but that's not a true reality. That is why illusion is in our mind, not outside. The whole world is an illusion. As soon as you hear this statement, you get the idea, the whole universe is an illusion. That's not the idea. I see Brahman with name and form, and that perception of the infinite as finite with name and form means finite, that is called illusion. So the illusion or delusion, they do not exist outside our mind. The mind itself is a product of this delusion and illusion in the form of time, space and causation. That is the simple truth. Ramakrishna says, if anybody thought like this, how to perceive truth as it is? Ramakrishna says, you cannot go beyond the jurisdiction of the Shakti. And then we have to remember Ramakrishna's vision of Shiva along with Mother Kali at Manikarnika Ghat. So marvelous, we have to understand. It is not written in the Puranas like Linga Purana, Kashi Khanda. There it is written, only Shiva utters the mantra and the individual becomes free. No, Ramakrishna, what he saw was that Shiva comes and tells the soul, you are none other than Shiva. But our old samskaras will be there. That is when Mother Kali, Kali means Kala. Kala means limitation, past, present and future. So she comes and cuts the bonds, makes the person go beyond time. Once a person goes beyond the time, he goes beyond space, he goes beyond causation, and then he knows, I was never bound and I never even thought that I was bound. This is the beauty of this teaching of Vedanta. Usually, when you have an experience and then the time, the event passes, then you wake up and then you remember, oh, I had a dream. Oh, yesterday I saw this incident. The incident is not present now, but nonetheless it is there in the form of memory. But when a person attains Brahmagnan, then he will not have the memory, oh, I was under the delusion all this time. By the grace of my Guru and my Ishta Devata, I became free. No, that is not going to happen. These are very beautiful thoughts. We will talk further in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.